Ganachish for being here with us today. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Education can be a difficult journey for anyone, full of hurdles, twists and turns, and for Alaska Natives, a college campus is a vastly different world from life in a small rural community where often different languages are spoken and there's a different way of life. And all of that adds more layers of complications for students making that transition to campus life. But our guest today, Danielle Carlson, is committed to making the journey easier for Alaska Native students and ultimately successful. She was recently hired as the Native Student Success Specialist. So, Danielle, it almost sounds like your job description is contained within the title.
Yeah, that's the hope. I definitely want to do my part and have a better understanding of what needs to be done to support our Alaska Native students and be in a position to make those changes happen. Really excited about it.
So for the nuts and bolts of your job, can you tell us like what it is that you're tasked with doing? What's in that basket of duties that you have to handle?
So this job is actually completely brand new. This has not been a position in the university system before. It came out of a bigger initiative, Alaska Native Success Initiative, throughout the University of Alaska system. And so it really is building a new job from the ground up. We see that, you know, we need to make some changes to support our Alaska Native students on campus. And so I would say my biggest task right now is trying to figure out who our students are, where they're coming from, the different types of students we have and what their different needs are. And then from there, being able to do some of that special programming and special projects that can help make those things happen. So it is brand new. We're trying to figure out what those nuts and bolts are. And I envision it being the decision being made by our students from our student perspectives of what they see needs to be done on campus.
That is exciting, though, to kind of blaze your own trail.
Yeah, I think so. I am excited for the challenge. I do not take it lightly.
No, I can tell. And you've done many things, I think, to get to this point in your career where you have a position that is carved out just for you. What kind of experiences have you had leading up to this?
How much time do you have?
Well, give us the Cliff Notes version of your resume.
Yeah, no, of course. So I am Alaska Native. I am Ununga Aleut from Sandpoint, Alaska, a little commercial fishing village where I did get my primary and secondary education. I am a first generation student. My family did not go to college. I did not have a high school counselor, and I really had no frame of reference of what it even meant to go on to college. And so my transition to the university system was extremely hectic and chaotic, but I didn't realize that was not normal. I thought that every student experienced that, and it took me a long time to kind of figure out like, hey, this is actually not okay, and I'm jumping through a lot more hurdles than I should. So my own personal experience within the education system definitely brought me here. But lucky for me, I met Joe Nelson as a student employee here on campus at UAS. And he had heard my story about some of those barriers I experienced as a student on campus. And he said, hey, I have this full-time job opening. I think you should take it. You're going to be in a position to work with Alaska Native students all over the state of Alaska and tell them your story and help them figure out what they want to do after high school. And it just sounded like the dream. It sounded so rewarding. And of course, I'm only 21 at the time when that job was offered. And so traveling for work sounded super exciting. And in that time working with a bunch of rural communities and students across the state of Alaska, I realized how common some of those hurdles I experienced were and just how unfair that was to those students and those communities. And so from there, I actually ended up enrolling in graduate school. I thought that my biggest dreams were accomplished at the undergraduate level, but there's more to be done. I went to graduate school and have produced research and potentially soon to be published piece of work, a handbook or a guide for educators to support Alaska Native students in their educational journeys and to spread awareness on some of those unique barriers that they do experience in education that start long before they end up on college campuses. So not only my personal experience, but being able to work with students and to have their trust to tell their stories and be in a position now to implement that change. And so when this position was being talked about and created, I literally was like, let me help create it. This sounds like my dream job. And that's exactly what we were able to create, is my dream job. I get to implement change and work with students and gain their perspective and their trust to be able to make education a more safe and equitable place. So sure if that was the short version or not.
I think it's a good foundation to continue our conversation on. You know, one of the things you mentioned is that things leading up to college are factors in the student success rate. And I think a lot of us take for granted that when we go to a college, you know, we're used to all the way things work, the roads, the traffic lights, driving, dealing with urban life. Most of us have been exposed to that, but Alaska Native students from small remote villages, you know, may not even come to college with a driver's license. I mean, in their village, there isn't any way to take a driver's test. There are things like that. So I would imagine that there's a combination of probably educational challenges as well as just physical geographical challenges that are hurdles for Native students.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that you bring up the driver's license thing, because that is something that I talk about when I share my own story when I'm doing my research. That not only was I trying to navigate all these new words like placement testing, academic advisor, student housing, tuition, I also was trying to get my driver's license for the first time, and I was only 17, and I never had to really like fill out a resume or anything like that before, because, you know, people just know you in the village. And so there's so many things that are different about growing up in rural Alaska, which is a really unique and special experience that I wouldn't trade for the world. But unfortunately, it does come with some of those barriers, including access and preparedness for post-secondary education.
And those barriers don't really have to be so hard right away. I would think that with good planning, students can be introduced to things that might trip them up before they you know, have a full immersion experience on campus life. And one of the things we've heard over the years is that our university system has had a hard time attracting Native students, but beyond that, keeping them. Is that still the case?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would like to give myself a pat on the back. I do think that our Alaska Native numbers have gone up in recruitment. So our first year students, that population always looks great and strong. It's our retention of those Alaska Native students that is really unfortunate. I do know the numbers because I am doing the research right now. I think our overall retention rate at UAS is 70% for our entire student population, and it's at 58%. For our Alaska Native students, so over a 10% difference for our Alaska Native students versus the general population. And so I think, you know, they have these educational goals, they have these aspirations to get their education and, you know, whatever that reason might be, if they want to go back and utilize that education in their communities or if they want to go elsewhere with it, they just don't come in with the tool set to do well in school. They get overwhelmed, and the education system really wasn't built with them in mind to begin with, and we just have a lot of work to do to make it a place where they feel like they belong and they can succeed and feel like they can get through it without having to just survive, which is something I hear from our students over and over again. They're like in survival mode. They're doing this so that they can bring this education back to their families or their communities, but they're not enjoying their experiences here, and they actually are really traumatic for them, and that's not the way education should be for anybody.
Yeah, usually for most people, college is exciting. It's an adventure. It's time away from home, but I guess if you come from another culture, and no one from your culture is around you, it could be tough. What are they telling you about the feelings of not belonging. I mean, because beyond just being different, that's still not a reason not to belong or feel welcome.
Yeah, totally. I feel like I was kind of touching on that a little bit. It is really special to grow up in those rural Alaskan towns. You're family to everybody. Everybody knows your name. Everyone knows your potential. Everyone's invested in your future and your well-being. You know, if there's anything going on, like a medical issue, or, you know, the whole community is going to fundraise for you. They're going to show up to every basketball game. But something they just weren't raised with, the older generation in our communities, is education, access to education. They never had those opportunities. You know, I have friends whose parents were in the first graduating class from my hometown because curriculum only used to be offered up to the eighth grade. And so it's not a lack of support there. It's just kind of a lack of access. And so to come to a place where you're used to being around people that know your name and your family and everything that's going on, to being around a bunch of strangers that don't talk like you, don't have the same values as you, don't eat the same foods as you. It's really overwhelming and it's really lonely. Even now for me as an adult, you know, I've been in Juneau for the last decade and it's still just like the little things that trip me up. Like when I'm driving home from work, I can't just stop in and say hi at any street on the road. I'm not waving to every car I pass. If I'm bored, I can't just go take a drive and stop in somewhere or walk down the street to like my brother's house. So there's definitely like this big feeling of isolation that you've never had to experience before in small communities.
Well, aside from just the differences in the rural-urban experience, you mentioned you didn't think that the education system was equitable. And in what ways do you think, well, I guess it begins back when they were going to elementary school and middle school and high school in their community, because a lot of rural kids have to take courses online. I mean, they've been doing that before COVID, where they don't have teachers, you know, as abundant as they do in urban communities, where they have biology teachers, chemistry teachers, and all of that. So from that standpoint, it was never equitable, and having to do a lot of your courses online is really tough. But beyond that, where do you see the equity issue?
This could be a whole entire segment. I see the equity issue starting beyond even anything I can talk about today. So I think the equity issue starts when education was first introduced to Alaska Native populations. We had our own forms of education. We had our own schools. They looked a lot different than the Western education system today. And I think that it was built on ideals and worldviews that do not match Indigenous worldviews or values. It was really built as a institution of colonization for Alaska Natives and American Indians. And so it starts way before anyone can even begin to make any change, right? That's all in the past, but it's still affecting our education system today and our Indigenous students' ability to succeed and belong to that education system. And I think as far as today goes and changes that we can actually make is that lots of our rural schools, like you mentioned, that's where they're being underserved to begin with. They often don't have a rigorous curriculum. They don't have AP courses. They don't have SAT prep. They don't have college counselors. They have high teacher turnover rate, tons of things going on in their rural communities that aren't setting them up for success to begin with. And then when they get to our college campuses, we kind of have this one size fits all method of teaching that just doesn't work with the way our students are brought up in rural villages and in their native communities. I could probably talk all day about the inequities.
You know, just one thing that does come to mind for me is hearing from Native families that, and they were like the top graduates in their class of maybe four or five people, but they were the valedictorian. And they did very well. They were hard workers. But when they came to college, they realized that they were behind other students and had to take sometimes remedial classes, and people were very annoyed because you have to pay for those remedial classes, and that makes the cost for a degree even more expensive. You know, to some extent, is that kind of thing still happening for Native students?
Absolutely. I just, like we were talking about my graduate research, I've worked with 12 different Alaska Native students in that time and heard their in-depth stories. And all of my students from rural Alaska were always the smartest kid in the room. And then they get to college and they're not the smartest kid in the room anymore. And they're in those remedial courses. And it kind of brings a feeling of shame. They're confused. School was always so easy. I never even had to do homework outside of here. I passed so effortlessly. And now, you know, I have to work so hard, but I don't even have these skills to be able to pass these classes. No one taught me time management or study skills or how to succeed in college. And so they're kind of set up for failure before they even come here, and they don't understand that. It doesn't feel very good.
Well, I was looking at a comment from the UAS Chancellor, Karen Carey, and I'm quoting her, "Ms. Carlson is the right person at the right time for this position." So that bodes well that you'll make a difference. But I know you're new to the job, but I just want to ask you, if you could do one thing right off the get-go, one thing to make a difference, have you got any idea of what that would be yet?
Yeah, implementing required training for all faculty, staff, and admin at the post-secondary level, eventually through the secondary and primary level too. But I think we waste a lot of time trying to spread awareness on these different issues and these different worldviews and trying to help educators understand that one size does not fit all, and to understand some of these barriers these students have already jumped through just to be in this classroom. So I think that absolutely that would be my number one thing if I could change today, would be to have required cultural safety, cultural relevancy, whatever you want to call it, training for anyone who works in education, bare minimum.
And you know, turning the tables, sort of, because we always tend to think, oh, well, Native students come with deficiencies, quote unquote. But what things do they bring to the table that could enrich the whole university system?
Yeah. Even beyond the university system, all facets of life and society, they hold different worldviews. I think that I might sound a little biased, but I think that our Western ways of living and our Western ideals and our Western institutions have really shown to not be successful in lots of different areas, including the education system. So I think that we need, you know, different voices at the table and different people in those positions to make those decisions and those changes happen, like myself. And I think that society as a whole is going to benefit from that unique worldview, that those unique thoughts and ideas from our Indigenous students. They definitely will bring a new voice to the table, and we need them to get educated first. So we need education to be accessible.
And we skim the surface, as you said, of a lot of issues, and maybe you could come back at some point and we can do a deep dive into maybe just one or two. Because I think it would be worth knowing, you know, what you've learned in your research and just raise people's awareness about some of the hurdles.
Absolutely. This is my passion project. I'm happy to talk about it in anywhere, anytime. The number one way to make change is to first raise awareness so that we light more fires and we get more allies to help make that change.
Well, good luck with your new job and your new passion project. Danielle Carlson, she is the new Alaska Native Student Success Specialist at the University of Alaska Southeast. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.